Welcome to Lou Marks The Spot, brought to you by yours truly, Lou Marks, bringing sanity and common sense back to America. Today, let's talk about the Biden crime family. We now see the Biden crime family for what they are, and President Donald Trump will win the election in a day. But that will not make Facebook and Twitter unbiased platforms of free speech. Career civil servants in the state, justice, FBI, CIA, and the Pentagon, who worked for 4 years to remove Trump, will still be there. The New York Times, Washington Post, NBC, ABC, CBS, MSNBC won't suddenly just stop trying to brainwash us. The NFL, the NBA, and the MLB will keep pushing social unrest. Ivy League universities will continue to undermine truth and decency using taxpayer dollars to brainwash the next generation of victims. And the damaged voters who believe critical race theory, identical politics, and the Green New Deal will also not just suddenly disappear. The coup began decades ago, and our road back to America is long and painful. Time to buckle up, people. It's going to be a long haul. First, meet Hunter Biden, the scandal-plagued middle child of the Democratic presidential nominee Joe Biden. Hunter Biden studied at Georgetown University and graduated in 1992. It was while earning his undergraduate history degree that he began to differ from his teetotaler father as he began to ramp up his social drinking habit to smoking Marlboro Reds and using extensive amounts of cocaine. A guest on a Rupert Murdoch-owned news channel referred to the Hunter Biden email accusations as the biggest story of his lifetime, while also comparing the Biden family to the Sopranos. The New York Post, another publication owned by the media tycoon, this week republished an article claiming to report emails between Democrat presidential nominee Joe Biden's son Hunter and a Ukrainian business associate, thanking the former vice president's son for arranging a meeting with his father in April of 2015 and urging him to use his influence to get a meeting and connections with Joe Biden in May of 2014. And now it's been proven to be true. Joe Biden acted corruptly during his time as vice president to benefit Hunter's and his own business interests in Ukraine and China, as well as probably Obama and Hillary Clinton. It shows to Biden, to paraphrase Rudy Giuliani, the Biden crime family, to be explicitly involved for decades in using Joe Biden's position to leverage money from countries. First from Iraq, second billions in investments money from China, third again we see from Ukraine in the hundreds of millions. It's just not one of those go-away stories. It's going to continue. People are going to go to prison. Steer went on to criticize what he called the media left for not reporting on the story enough. They haven't reported on it at all. They don't even mention it. The left, the media left, is hardly reporting it. He said, it's a real story with real evidence, and a story we've seen in many years. But as usual, the fake news media is not only not reporting it, they're covering it up. He went on to say it's a bit like the Soprano family, but probably even worse. And it is, because it's high-level corruption. Vice President of the United States. It's treason. You've got Joe Biden on tape. We've all seen it, admitting in front of an audience that he blackmailed the Ukrainian government into sacking the prosecutor who was investigating his son's dealings, where he was getting up to about $180,000 a month for sitting on a board that knew nothing about it at the time, knew nothing about the business, the country, or the people, or anything, when he was a desperately ill drug addict also. If that's not buying influence, I don't know what in the world is. Both Facebook and Twitter have moved to restrict the Post article when it was published, with Facebook restricting the article's reach until it could undergo a rigorous fact-checking process. It lies. Twitter initially said it was blocked due to its policy on hacked material, but the company's CEO, Jack Dorsey, has since said the decision was wrong. This is treason, people. Citing a handful of emails and texts, the Post said Hunter Biden leveraged his father's influence to arrange business deals in Ukraine and China, and Joe Biden was aware of these arrangements despite his lies saying he didn't know anything about what his son Hunter was doing, and he sometimes profited from them. 10% went to Joe, at least, if not more, and 50% of Hunter's income. The Post also published personal photos of Hunter Biden, an alleged text change in which the two Bidens discuss Hunter's struggles with drug addiction and events about his contentious relationships with other family members. This has all now been proven to be absolutely 100% true. Trump's personal lawyer, Rudy Giuliani, has suggested that the hard drive messages were purportedly taken from contains numerous pictures of underage girls. This has been corroborated by several other people. This is incredible. Hunter Biden bought an historic estate in Wilmington in 1997, where he lived with his wife, young daughters, and brother Beau. He assumed the role as an executive vice president at MBNA Bank, but later said he disliked a stiff corporate culture. He probably got fired. His role at the bank raised eyebrows as MBNA was known as a massive donor to several of Joe Biden's campaigns over the years. No surprise there. But he stayed with the company for nearly 5 years. He sparked confusion when then 44 years old, he enlisted in the Navy Reserves in 2012, less than 2 years before reports broke to reserve discharge him in 2014 after he tested positive for cocaine. Got a dishonorable discharge. He didn't re-enlist. He couldn't have. More lies by the Bidens. Like father, like son. Like son, like father. The 50-year-old's personal life has created tension as it played out amid his father's political life for many years and is now coming into sharper focus as his dad has led the field of Democratic voters. The controversies escalated on November 20th, 2019, when DNA results confirmed he fathered a child with a different woman while dating Hallie Biden, his brother's widow. This is incredible. It's like incest. While he dismissed the claims by the child's mother, London Alexis Roberts, early in the year, court filings now assert that he accepts the child as his. More lies, more sexual perversion. He received $3.5 million from the mayor of Moscow's wife. Why did that happen? For what reason? $100,000 he got from an account with a Chinese businessman. $1,500,000 from his time on the board, a Burisma. $4,790,000 in consulting fees from a CCP link company. How much of that went to the big man? They refer to him, they now have proven the big man was Joe Biden. So how much went to Joe Biden? The day the Bidens took over Paradigm Global Advisors was a memorable one. In the late summer of 2006, Joe Biden's son Hunter and Joe's younger brother, also part of the crime family, James Biden, purchased the firm. On their first day on the job, they showed up with Joe's other son, Beau, and two large men and offered the hedge fund chief of compliance to fire its president. More bullying, more blackmail, more strong arm. Typical little Biden crime family. They're right. Could be worse than the Sopranos. After the firing, the two large men escorting the fund's president out of the firm's Midtown office, just like the mafia, and James Biden laid out his vision for the fund's future. Don't worry about investors, James Biden said, according to the executive. We've got people all around the world that want to invest in Joe Biden. In other words, for money, they get protection from the vice president of the United States, Joe Biden, the head of the Biden crime family. At the time, the senator was just months away from both assuming the chairmanship of the Senate Foreign Relations Committee and launching his second presidential bid. According to the executive, James Biden made it clear he viewed the fund as a way to take money from rich foreigners who could not legally give money to his older brother in his campaign account. It's money laundering, that's fraud, that's campaign funds fraud. It's incredible. We've got investors lined up in a line of 747s filled with cash ready to invest in this company, the executive remembers James Biden saying. More cash, just like Obama and Biden gave tens of billions or hundreds of billions to the mullahs in Iran. Cash loaded in planes, dumped on the runway in the middle of the night. Beau Biden, who was then running for Attorney General of Delaware, turned bright red when he heard this. He told his uncle, "This can never leave this room, and if you ever say it again, I will have nothing to do with this." A good man. Recollection of an effort to cash in on Joe's political ties is consistent with other accounts over the years, many, provided by other former executives at the fund. Three former executives said James and Hunter Biden also sought to capitalize on Joe's strong ties to labor unions, more mafia tactics, in the hopes of landing investments from them. Charles Provini, who briefly served as Paradigm's president, said both James and Hunter repeatedly cited Joe's political ties when they recruited him to work for the fund. I was told because of the relationships with the unions that they felt as though it would be favorably looked upon to invest in the fund as long as it was a good fund. Documents submitted as part of a legal dispute over Paradigm's acquisition show James Biden planned to solicit investments for it from union pension funds. Jimmy Hoffa story, a mafia story, Soprano story. This is just incredible. This has gone on for decades, maybe 30, 40 years. A spokesman for James and Hunter said they did not end up marketing the fund to unions. More lies. As Joe Biden now runs for the Democratic presidential nomination, on the argument he can strongly appeal to the party's dwindling base of blue-collar supporters, he has often made the point that he hasn't gotten rich from his decades in politics. Well, folks, as recently as 2009, just before he became vice president, his net worth was less than $30,000. Less than $30,000, poverty level almost. Maybe it is. That was Joe Biden's net worth in 2009. Though in recent years, in the 8 years he was vice president, he has made millions, tens of millions from book sales and speaking fees and bribes, and has five houses or yet five mansions. He refers to himself as middle class Joe. How's that possible? How'd he make all that money on a $170,000 a year salary? Well, it speaks for itself. Common sense. And he presents himself as a corrective to a system rigged by financiers and network corporate elites. That's him. Biden's image as a straight-shooting man of the people is clouded by the careers of also of his son and brother, who also have lengthy track records of making or seeking deals that cash in on his name. Spokesman for Biden's campaign, Andrew Bates, of course, as usual, declined to comment for this story. A spokesman for James and Hunter disputed several specific recollections of former Paradigm executives but did not address more general questions about their business dealings. They never denied anything. Their ventures over nearly half a century, that's 50 years, have regularly raised conflict of interest and brought the Biden family into potentially compromising associations. The only reason he's not in jail is because he's a Democrat and he's protected by the deep state. James and Hunter are also a real story. There is no indication the Bidens ever succeeded in bringing new foreign money into their fund, but their involvement with Paradigm, which spanned the final 2 years of Joe's Senate career and first 2 years of his vice presidency, was troubled for other reasons. But they did bring money, we found out now. But let's hear about the other reasons. In James and Hunter's five-year tenure, Paradigm became associated with a number of and confirmed frauds, including Alan Stanford's multi-billion-dollar Ponzi scheme. Multi-billion-dollar Ponzi scheme, and they were associated with it, while seeking to draw on their powerful relatives' political allies for financing, namely Joe Biden and the rest. The pattern of dubious association and possible conflicts of interest would continue later with Hunter's foreign dealings, which led him to lucrative appointment to the board of the Ukrainian oil company, which he knew nothing about, and to deals with firms connected to the Chinese state, who gave billions of dollars in investments. And he flew there on Air Force Two with his father, Joe Biden, when he was vice president. But all this crime started far earlier. James Biden, known socially as Jimmy, is 7 years younger than Joe, and a dead ringer in looks for his famous older brother. He worked as a salesman and served as the finance chairman of Joe's first Senate campaign, finance salesman, it figures, in 1972 before embarking on a career as a serial entrepreneur. In the 1970s, as Joe was entering the Senate and taking a seat on the banking committee, James, of course, obtained unusually generous loans from lenders. Joe had the seat on the banking committee, and James got generous, strange loans from lenders who later faced federal regulatory issues, in other words, criminal actions. Joe Biden was in touch with two of those banks about his brother's loans, once to scold the bank executive about invoking his name and attempts to collect on overdue payments. Sounds like the strong-arm tactics with Ukraine. It's Joe Biden's M.O. In the 1990s, a group of Mississippi trial lawyers enlisted James to further its interests in Washington as it sought congressional support for a tobacco mega settlement. Probably billions. A decade later, those Mississippi contacts supported Joe's presidential bid. Surprise, surprise, surprise. Not. Hosting a fundraiser for him and accepting an invitation to accompany Joe to a high-profile Washington dinner, while they simultaneously prepared to launch a lobbying firm with James and his wife, Sarah. Plans for the firm fizzled when the Mississippians were arrested, then jailed for an unrelated bribery scheme. Everyone around Joe Biden, Hunter Biden, James Biden commits crimes, gets arrested, goes to jail. It's amazing the Bidens are untouched, unscathed. But that's going to change. During the Obama years, several months after James joined a construction firm as an executive, the firm, amazingly again, received a contract worth more than $1 billion to build houses in Iraq, while Joe oversaw the U.S.-led occupation of that country. So let's get this straight. Obama was president. He had to know about it. He had to approve it. And Biden, Joe Biden, was head of the committee that led the U.S. occupation of Iraq. And his brother gets billions to build houses there. What is that? We'd all be in jail if you or I did it. We'd be in prison. That's incredible. Along the way, James partnered with his nephew, Hunter. Surprise again. Not at all. The younger of Joe's two sons, the cocaine addict. In the early 2000s, before working with his uncle, Hunter had opened a lobbying practice that landed clients with interests that overlapped with Joe's committee assignments and legislative priorities. Again, peddling influence. Ahead of his father's second presidential bid, he entered the hedge fund business with James. Joe Biden needs to recognize it's a problem, said Richard Painter, a former chief White House ethics lawyer in the George W. Bush area, who recently became a Democrat. Painter said Biden should pledge if he was elected president, he would ask his relatives to refrain from business practices that could pose ethical quandaries, such as taking foreign sources of financing. Yet for the 8 years that Joe Biden was vice president, that's all he did, was use his political position and name to get financing and get money and get free funds. You can't control your brothers, you can't control your grown son, he said, but you can put some firewalls in your place in your own office, Painter said. Paradon was the brainchild of James Park, the son-in-law of the billionaire Sun Myung-moon, who claimed to be the Messiah and founded the Unification Movement. A religious group often accused of being a cult and whose members were known as Moonies. We remember those. If you don't remember them, Google them. It was incredible. It was a scam. It was one of the biggest frauds in American history. And the Bidens, again, they pop up. Started by Park in 1989, Paradigm was an early entrant into the hedge fund industry and among the first funds of funds. That is, a hedge fund that invested in other hedge funds. Amazing. The Biden involvement began in January 2006. James Biden called Anthony Letito, a New York financial advisor, and said his older brother Joe Biden wanted his son Hunter to find a job outside of lobbying and avoid damaging his planned campaign for the presidency. So Biden knew that it would do it, so he got him a job, high-paying, another fraudulent job. Letito later filed his lawsuit in New York court after his relationship with James and Hunter soured. In a court filing their own, James and Hunter denied that such a call took place, as described, but it is undisputed that Letito, James, and Hunter were soon exploring a purchase of Paragon together. So the Bidens all lie. They lie, lie, and lie, steal, steal, and steal, strong arm, strong arm, strong arm. Blackmail, blackmail, blackmail. Influence peddle, influence peddle, influence peddle. It's continuous for over 50, for now they say 50 years. According to court filings, James Biden and Letito had been introduced years earlier by Tom Scotto, a former president of New York Detectives Endowment Association, a union, around 2002. A year before, Scotto had been named as an unindicted co-conspirator by federal prosecutors in an organized crime scheme. again, Sopranos. Described at the time as the largest security fraud bust in U.S. history. And who was involved? Joe Biden, Hunter Biden, James Biden. To bribe union leaders in order to access union pension funds. Scotto, who denied wrongdoing at the time, declined to comment on his relationship with James Biden and Letito, however. But everybody knows, it's a matter of record. After their introduction, a firm owned by Letito, Globex Financial Advisors, began doing business with one owned by James, Lionhall Group. Letito and Biden later co-founded a company called AmeriCorps International Security, a private security firm according to court filings, so they could hide their money. Not much is known about AmeriCorps, though James Biden said in court filings that the business was not successful. It's funny how the Bidens take tens of millions, hundreds of millions, billions, the money disappears, the businesses go bankrupt. Where's the money? Gee, I wonder. Common sense tells you. Letito did not respond to requests for comment anymore. By 2006, Letito, James, and Hunter were eyeing a purchase of Paradigm. James and Hunter brought in Larry Grasky, a lobbyist and a longtime Biden advisor. No surprise again. Who at one point, according to court records, was going to provide $1 million in financing. This is a big crime family. Grasky did not respond to a request for comment. They also obtained $1 million in financing from Simmons Cooper, St. Louis area law firm with a thriving practice representing asbestos victims. Partners in the firm had befriended the Biden sons, steering business to Bowes Delaware law firm and donations to Biden's campaign coffers. Simmons Cooper's interests aligned with Joe Biden's views. He was a prominent opponent of the creation of an asbestos trust fund, a measure that would have curtailed lawsuits relating to cancer-causing fibers. Biden doesn't care about people. He kills people just to get money. Things quickly got very messy. The prospective purchasers discovered that because of an accounting trick, surprise, no, not again, the fund had only a fraction of the $1.5 billion in assets under management that it claimed according to court filings. $1.5 billion, almost all of it disappeared. And the Bidens were involved again. James Biden and Hunter Biden also discovered that the attorney the trio had hired on Letito's recommendation to explore the purchase, John Fasciana, had recently been convicted on 12 counts of fraud according to court filings. More fraud, more crimes, more organized crime connections. The Biden crime family is incredible. It stretches worldwide. Fasciana declined to comment, citing attorney-client confidentiality rules. No surprise there. Messages left at a number listed in Letito's name were not returned, of course. Despite the problem with the fund and souring relations with Letito, James and Hunter charged ahead with their acquisition of Paragon. They purchased the fund without him in August 2006, not for cash, but for an $8.1 million promissory note. Now, who can do that? Who can purchase a firm like that for $8.1 million with just a promissory note from two idiots, two people, two criminals who had no money, no credit? Everything was hidden. They had stolen so much, but yet they got away with it. The Biden name. Letito later sued James and Hunter Biden in New York State Court, accusing them of fraudulently acquiring Paragon behind his back, which they absolutely did. Letito claimed in his complaint that Hunter had entered into an employment agreement with Paragon that entitled Hunter to draw an annual salary of $1.2 million. $1.2 million from borrowed and stolen funds from people, innocent people, and Hunter Biden's going to draw a salary of $1.2 million for something he knows nothing about, for something he doesn't do. And how much of that, the 10%, Joe? 50% of Hunter's salary supposedly went to Joe Biden. That's what they say. Proof is there. James and Hunter countersued, and James stated in an affidavit that he, Hunter, and a firm they had formed with Letito had lost $1.3 million in their initial attempt to acquire Paragon. All parties, not surprisingly, voluntarily dropped their claims in December of 2008. Biden's bought them out or threatened them or strong-armed them out. The Biden crime family strikes again. According to an agreement Letito and James made with Paragon in May 2006 that later surfaced in their court fight, They're planning to use their connections to union pension funds governed by the 1947 Taft-Hartley Act, which regulates labor unions, in order to steer new investments to Paragon. Paragon, what is that? Owned by the Bidens. So, more fraud. Using the labor union's money, which is people's money, to steer funds illegally to their company. The documents corroborate the recollections of the three executives who said James and Hunter sought to tap Joe's union side. So it's not only people, witnesses, it's documents, computers, laptops now, the infamous laptop, tapes, everything proves it. At one point after the Bidens purchased the fund, one of the executives recalled, groups of firefighters started trekking up in small groups to Paragon's office and leaving him checks for a few $1,000 each. That's typical strong-arm union tactics. About 10 in total over the course of a few days. Firefighter unions have been among Joe Biden's closest political allies since the start of his political career. The executive said that the checks were never cashed, though. Generally, legal restrictions and fund policies mean only the rich can invest directly in hedge funds, and only in much higher increments than a couple of $1,000s. A spokesman for James and Hunter said no such episode occurred. Outright lie, there's total proof. Another of the former executives recalled that Paragon abandoned plans to pursue Taft-Hartley pension funds because of the prospect of perceived conflicts. Perceived criminal actions, crimes, federal crimes. As soon as James and Hunter, without Letito, took control of Paragon, they ordered the firing of the fund's president, Stephan Ferrus. Ferrus, who had been in a dispute about equity with the fund's previous owner, later sued James, Hunter, and Letito in New York State, accusing them of engaging in an elaborate scheme to defraud him out of his ownership stake in Paragon. They seemed to do that a lot. Get some more money, get some more connections, bring him in, make him seem like they're a big executive, and then fire him. Ferrus alleged that James and Hunter Biden entered into a contract with him to buy out his share in the fund without ever intending to abide by it, as part of a ploy to steal his share, like they did before. The case was dismissed. No surprise, the Biden strong arm, the Biden crime family again. Ferrus did not respond to requests for comment. James and Hunter set about reorganizing the fund and installing Pravini as its president in 2007. In the Bidens' first months at the helm, Paragon reached an arrangement with Longship Capital Management, a New York investment firm, in which Longship would serve as an investment advisor to Paragon, according to a Securities and Exchange Commission filing. This arrangement put James and Hunter in business with Longship partner Brian Mathis. Guess what? A veteran of the Clinton Treasury Department and a Democratic bundler who was friends with Barack Obama and Michelle Obama at Harvard Law School. Here we go. Clintons, Democrats, Obamas, comes out. In March 2011, Mathis, who declined to comment, of course, was among the roughly 30 financiers invited to a controversial White House meeting to discuss the state of the economy. The meeting was arranged by the Democratic National Committee and omitted from Obama's public schedule. So Obama was involved behind the country's back, didn't put it on the schedule, it was a secret meeting, and same with Joe Biden. To pay back the $1 million they had borrowed from Simon Cooper during their first aborted acquisition attempt, James and Hunter, Biden had taken out a loan from Washington First Bank. No surprise there, which had been co-founded by one of Hunter's former lobbying partners. This is getting incredible. How many people are in this on the Biden crime family? It seems like all of Washington, D.C. A former Washington First executive said James and Hunter had pledged their houses on loan, and both had paid back their debts after several years. They never paid back their debts. The debts were erased. At one point, the executive said Hunter called him and asked him to handle over $21,000 in company funds for a personal mortgage payment. When the executive refused, saying the funds were needed to cover operating expenses, recalled that Hunter, who recently told a New Yorker he had spent most of his life living paycheck to paycheck, responded that he might lose his house. Hunter did take substantial dollars out of the company, millions of dollars, said a former Paragon executive, describing the withdrawals as a semi regular subject of discussion and concern within the firm. In other words, Hunter Biden, James Biden was stealing. It was becoming a big problem for the company. A third former executive claimed that at one point around 2008 or 2009, James and Hunter withdrew $7 million from Paragon's coffers for their own use. For their own use. That's fraud. It's embezzlement. By this point, the Bidens didn't have access to the day-to-day operation of Paragon at all. The only thing the Bidens could do was get paid or request to get money out of the hedge fund, which of course they got. Anytime they asked. The executive said the Bidens had the right to withdraw the funds and that the transaction was cleared through counsel. Such lies. Is anybody stupid enough to believe this? An independent audit performed on the fund in 2008 by the Philadelphia firm Briggs, Bunting, and Dougherty was filed with the SEC. Though it does not detail the basis for its findings, the audit found accounting deficiencies, no surprise, missing money at Paragon, including a failure to timely prepare financial statements and a failure to reconcile investment advisors' reimbursement of funds expenses. Nobody got paid. Everybody got ripped off. The only ones who got money were the Bidens and the Biden associates. While James and Hunter Biden were trying to succeed in the world of high finance, Joe Biden was seeking the Democratic nomination for the presidency, eventually becoming Barack Obama's running mate after his own bid foundered. The duo would go on to victory in part by casting themselves as reliable stewards of an economy that was careening downward as a result of financial engineering gone awry. It was the worst in the history of America, practically, during the Obama and Biden administration. As election day neared, the government took over Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac. There was a run on the money market accounts. The Fed bailed out AIG, and some of the country's largest financial institutions teetered on the brink of collapse. This is what happens when you put a Biden crime family in charge of anything financial. On September 29th, the Dow Jones Industrial Average fell by 777 points, then the largest single day drop in the history of America. Does that surprise anybody with Obama or Biden? Dennis Tang, now an undergraduate instructor at Columbia University, was interning at Paragon that summer. Described a business that was oddly quiet, saying its offices were a ghost town. Nobody was there that summer, including on a September day Lehman Brothers collapsed. It was just empty desks and empty Bloomberg terminals, Tang said. It was a sham, it was a fraud, it was a front for laundering and stealing money. Paragon was still running and would soon attract attention for its associates with several criminal frauds, however, in name only. September 2008, with the financial system melting, an executive Paragon registered Paragon Stanford Capital Management Core Alternative Fund, what a name, with the SEC. The fund of hedge funds represented a partnership with the firm run by Alan Stanford. And then in February 2009, less than a month after Joe Biden was sworn in as vice president, Hunter served as honorary co-chairman of the inaugural committee, Stanford was here we go again, charged with a multi-billion-dollar Ponzi scheme, one of the largest in U.S. history. The Biden crime family again. This is getting incredible. How much money was taken? How much money was given to other countries by the Biden crime family and the Obamas and the Clintons? If it wasn't for President Trump, this would not have come out. Paragon was not accused of participating in the scheme. Of course, protected again. At the time, a spokesman for Paragon told the Wall Street Journal that it had terminated its relationship with Stanford and offered to turn over the money it received from him to a court-appointed receiver. But it never happened. They don't give money back, Biden crime family. Paragon also rented space to Francesco Russanio, whose Ponte Negro fund shared both an office and a phone number with Paragon. This is incredible. In April 2009, the SEC accused Bruciano of a multi-million dollar fraud. Here we go again. He got a year in prison. What happened to the Bidens? Nothing. There is no evidence. Again, Paragon participated in the schemes, they said. But well, he worked for Paragon, and because the Bidens were part of it, it won't get out. Paragon was not the first Biden family business venture to fail and be charged with so many criminal things after attracting unwanted attention. In 1972, Joe ran a lousy campaign for Senate with his younger brother in charge of the finances, always in charge of the finances. The Bidens earned a reputation for being tight-knit and fiercely loyal under them. People called James Biden the Hammer. It's a mafia family for sure. Crime family. Explained one future associate of his who would hammer the table until people agreed to give money to Joe's campaign. They've been strong-arming and blackmailing and extorting people for decades, over 50 years. No sooner was freshman lawmaker Joe Biden seated on the Senate Banking Committee than James became the beneficiary of more business loans that were described in news accounts at the time as unusually generous and suspect because of the relatively large amount of money he was able to borrow with no collateral and a total lack of relevant prior experience, just like Hunter, only many years before. It's always the same pattern. In early 1973, on the heels of Joe's election to the Senate, James Biden and a business partner decided to open a nightclub. Incredible. The club, called Seasons Change, located in a shopping plaza near the Pennsylvania state line, would eventually fail as usual. And of course, as always, leaving behind it a trail of debt and a trickle of embarrassing revelations about its financing. The pair had obtained a series of loans of $80,000, $60,000, and $25,000 just from Wilmington Farmers Bank. At least one of those loans was unsecured, meaning it was not backed by collateral and that could be seized if the borrower stopped paying. When James began missing his payments and risking default, his brother Joe Biden became angry, but not at James for stealing, but at the bank for saying something. What I'd like to know, the junior senator told his hometown paper in 1977, is how the guy in charge of loans let it get this far. Typical Joe Biden blaming the banker because his brother ripped off the bank. The paper looked into it. The answer, they said, according to three former officers of the troubled Farmers Bank, is the Biden name. This is the problem, the Biden name. According to the paper, the bank thought the senatorial name would attract club goers. Did not attract enough to turn a profit, and by 1975, the bank was having problems collecting from James. They never pay. That year, Joe Biden called Farmers Chairman to complain about the bank's collection practices. They just wanted their money back, and Joe Biden doesn't want to give it. He never gives it back. As the News Journal later reported, after the phone call, former bank officer said, was called into Danforth's office and told the senator to complain that his brother had been harassed. So the bank just simply wanted money paid back like we all have to do. And Biden complained and they said that he was being harassed. Incredible. Another figure tied to the Farmers Bank, the politically connected financier Norman Rails, extended James Biden another unsecured loan. Rails, who did extensive business with Farmers, extended the loan to James through Joe Biden's former law firm. That's incredible. Walsh, Monzak, and Owens. One of the firm's partners, John T. Owens, was a brother, Biden's brother-in-law, having married Joe Biden's sister and political confidant, Valerie. Owens would also become a partner in the nightclub. What a surprise. The tentacles of the Biden crime family are like the Sopranos. It's a story right out of the Godfather movie. These unusual arrangements came to light after Farmers Bank nearly collapsed in 1976, forcing the Federal Deposit Insurance Corporation to bail it out. Biden's crime family almost bankrupt Farmers Bank. The crisis spurred several investigations into the bank lending practices and political connections, and also prompted Moody's to downgrade the state of Delaware's trading rating from A1 to A because the state's finances were so intertwined with the bank's. A Delaware banking commissioner was found to have received a loan from Farmers while overseeing its finances, another violation of federal law. Separately, the Justice Department began investigating whether Rails had defrauded the bank in his unrelated dealings with it. The DOJ also scrutinized unusual loans made by Farmers, including the Biden loans. In 1978, Assistant U.S. Attorney Alan Hoffman, who had gone to serve as a top aide to Biden in the Senate and the White House, no surprise there again, told the Philadelphia Daily News that the government found nothing improper about Farmers' loan to James. this incredible lies. The Bidens can cover up almost anything. We see them today, 2020, for years now since President Trump has been in office, lying on television with videos. Don't they realize that? And they lie and they lie and they lie, and the media just covers the lies, and they let them go on continuing to lie. In 1975, the same year Farmers was having difficulty collecting on its original nightclub loan, James Biden and his partners went to a Philadelphia bank, First Pennsylvania, to get more money to expand their operation. Despite their little or no financial means and lack of experience in the nightclub business, James and his partner were able to obtain a loan of $500,000, which would be equivalent to more than $2 million today. How is that possible? Biden, Joe Biden, makes it possible. In the same year that the First Pennsylvania granted the loan and was placed on the Federal Reserve Board's watch list over potentially unsounding lending practices. The Bidens just leave destruction in their path. They destroy everything they touch just for money. Delaware's News Journal would later report that the office of Pennsylvania's then governor, Democrat Milton Schaap, had recommended James Biden for the First Pennsylvania loan. So the governor of Pennsylvania, the Democrat Milton Schaap, recommended to the First Pennsylvania Bank James Biden for a loan for no reason, unsecured, scam. Owens had previously worked as an aide to Schaap. While declining to discuss specifics, Owens told the News Journal that from a philosophical perspective, there'd be nothing wrong with such a recommendation. Owens did not, it's not philosophical, this is criminal. Owens did not respond to a request for comment left at his office. They never do. It also emerged that after the loan was made, First Pennsylvania Bank met with Joe Biden to discuss it. So Biden, who claims he never knew anything about anything illegal, anything about what his son Hunter Biden did, anything about what his brother did, has been involved totally and firsthand in everything. My only contract with First Pennsylvania was with a junior loan officer who wanted to see me about my brother's loan, Joe Biden said. It was my brother's business, Joe Biden told the Philadelphia Daily News in 1978, though the bank representative he named, William Githens, was in fact a senior vice president. Incredible. The senator said he was not intervening on his brother's behalf, but that in fact the bank executive was asking for his help in dealing with his brother. He asked me, Joe said at the time, to intercede with my brother and ask him to change the management. He wanted me to use my influence with my brother. I did talk to him for them, and they finally changed the management, but they kept the money. By early 1977, unable to make payments on his loans again, year after year, decade after decade, James Biden had to give up the struggling club. A year later, the man who took it over him, Salvatore Cardelli, was fighting First Pennsylvania in court, claiming the bank had set him up to take the failing club off James Biden's hands. Probably strong arm from Joe Biden, forced them to buy it because they couldn't make money at it. The bank didn't want the senator's brother to be on the paper when the disco folded. They needed a patsy, and it was him. The Biden family's crime and reach has no limits. There's no indication that Joe Biden helped his brother obtain any loans, they said. A lie. As we've seen, he's helped them obtain every one of them, and more than we don't know about, probably. Many more. James told the Daily News he had made a deal on undisclosed terms to settle his debt to First Pennsylvania. Never settled anything. In 1981, the FDIC sued James because he didn't settle anything. He lied again. And his partners for outstanding loans to Farmers. In both instances, the Bidens, of course, told the press that Joe did nothing to help James get the loans, even though they know he did. By the time the club was going under, Joe had left his seat on the banking committee for one of the judiciary committee. As for James, after a stint selling real estate in San Francisco, he returned to the East Coast and set up a new firm, the Lion Hall Group. During this time, Hunter Biden was now busy making a living in his father's way. He began working at MBNA Bank, one of the Delaware's largest employers, in 1996. He left to become a lobbyist in 2001. But even though he continued receiving consulting fees from the bank, he left the bank, had no experience, became a lobbyist, and the bank was still paying him consulting fees for what? For nothing. For his father's name. For years, beginning in the late 90s, Joe Biden had been a top Democratic supporter of a controversial bankruptcy bill that aided issuers of credit card debt like MBNA, making it harder for borrowers to seek bankruptcy protections. The consulting fees to Hunter continued in 2005 when the bankruptcy bill finally passed with Joe's support. He had to give it up. At his new firm, Hunter also lobbied for the music sharing service Napster, while the Judiciary Committee on which Joe sat took on digital music piracy and represented public universities seeking congressional earmarks. The Bidens have said that Hunter avoided lobbying his father. It's a lie. He became a lobbyist. 2008, the Washington Post reported that as a senator, Obama had sought more than $3.4 million in earmarks for Hunter's clients before Joe became his running mate, and then another lobbyist at Hunter's firm had successfully lobbied Joe for an earmark for the University of Delaware. So even Obama was involved in this. $3.4 million in one time. It's been hundreds of millions. As Joe prepared to mount his second presidential run, James and Hunter pivoted to Paragon again. After Paragon, James Biden landed a new gig. Despite a lack of experience in the construction industry, he was named as an executive vice president at Hillstone International, a subsidiary of New Jersey-based construction firm Hill International, in November 2010. Every Biden, including Joe, has no experience in anything, and yet they receive millions. Wish we could all do that. In June 2011, the firm landed contracts worth an estimated $1.5 billion to build homes in Iraq. $1.5 billion for Joe Biden's brother, James Biden, and son, Hunter Biden, who knew nothing about anything. At the time, Hillstone had little home building experience or none. Joe Biden was leading the administration's Iraq policy. What a coincidence. This is common sense. This is, anyone who doesn't see this, it's insanity. The firm denied, of course, that the vice president position helped him land the deal. How'd they get it? No experience, no money, no equipment, no anything. But Joe Biden was head of the committee that handled Iraq, and they got $1.5 billion. The firm denied that the vice president position helped it land the deal, which came through the Track Development Group, South Korean firm that had been awarded a contract by the Iraqi government to build 500,000 homes in Iraq. Who believes this nonsense? In the end, the contracts did not work out. Hillstone did not end up building the housing. Of course, he got $1.5 billion. Contracts didn't work out. Hillstone didn't build anything. Where'd the money go again? I thought we had a good chance during a downturn in the market to become a player, and I was wrong, so we closed it down, Richter told their magazine, Arabian Business, in 2014. Yeah, you close it down and $1.5 billion just goes away and nobody talks about it. Hunter had more success pursuing businesses in Asia and Europe. After buying Paragon, he went into business with former Secretary of State John Kerry's stepson Christopher Hines and Hines's friend Devin Archer. They formed a variety, again, of investment-focused firms under the name Rosemont Seneca. As they set about searching for deals, Hunter and Archer were eager to land business in China. In late 2013, Hunter traveled with his father on Air Force Two, illegally, to Beijing, where the vice president was set to meet with Chinese President Xi. While there, Hunter introduced one of his business partners, Jonathan Lee, of the Beijing-based private equity firm Bohai Capital, to his father, according to the New Yorker. Hunter and Archer had just concluded a large real estate deal with Bohai. In May of 2019, The Intercept reported that Hunter's Chinese investment vehicle, Bohai Harvest RST, was invested in a firm that developed facial recognition technology used in Chinese state-backed surveillance efforts. Now we're getting into treason. In 2014, as Joe Biden led the administration's response to the annexation of the Crimean Peninsula in southern Ukraine, Hunter and Archer received appointments to the board of the Ukrainian natural gas company, which we all know about now, Burisma Holdings. Hunter's monthly pay from Burisma was reportedly as high as $50,000 $1,000 to $68,000 in some months. Last June, Harsha was convicted in federal court in New York for an unrelated fraud targeting a Native American tribe and pension funds. There we go. Fraud, in jail, pension funds. In November, a judge granted Harsha a retrial, however. Thanks to the Bidens. Nothing happened to the Bidens. A spokesman for Hines, Chris Bastardi, said the Ketchup fortune heir had nothing to do with Hunter Biden's foreign dealings. Neither Mr. Hines nor any business in which he had an interest was involved in Burisma or Bohai Harvest RSC. Since his father left office, Hunter has cultivated a relationship with the Chinese billionaire Yi. Hunter told the New Yorker the pair had partnered on a natural gas venture in Louisiana and that Yi had once gifted him a large diamond. Amazing. Hunter also dealt with Yee's deputy, Patrick Ho. In November 2017, federal agents in New York arrested Ho on suspicion of bribing government officials in Chad and Uganda. Ho's first call, according to the New York Times, was to James Biden, who told the paper Ho had been trying to reach Hunter Biden. Had the Bidens been charged? Had the Bidens been arrested? No. Ho was convicted then on 7 counts of fraud in December. Yi had disappeared from public view, he ran, and his name is serving in a corruption case now in China. Anything happened to the Bidens? No. Nothing happens to the Biden crime family. In 2017, Joe Biden told a Vanity Fair writer that he sometimes wished that one of his children had gotten rich in order to provide him for him in his old age. That's kind of funny. Amazingly, though, Biden and his wife, Jill Biden, have set about providing for themselves, earning more than $15 million in the 2 years following the end of his vice presidency in early 2017. He was only worth $30,000 before becoming vice president, and he earned more than $15 million in 2 years following the end of his vice presidency. How many tens of millions did he earn during his vice presidency? Maybe hundreds of millions. Hunter recently told the New Yorker that he lives on $4,000 a month and that he offered to pay his ex-wife a $37,000 a month in alimony and child support for 10 years. He's crazy. He must be back on drugs again. In 2012, Fox Business pegged James Biden's net worth at $7 million. So he lied again. In 2013, James and Sarah Biden bought a vacation house on Key Warden Island in Florida for $2.5 million. While the house served for several years as a family getaway amid beautiful surroundings, it did not pay off as an investment. They had the worst business people in the world. All they know how to do is the Biden crime family is steal. After James and Sarah put it on the market in early 2016, with an initial asking price of $5.9 million, it sold for just $1.35 million in 2018. But this is what the Bidens do. Dad, Joe Biden, Sleepy Joe Biden, serves in office, and Hunter makes money from it, and James makes money from it. The Senate Intelligence Committee released a report confirming numerous questionable financial transactions between Hunter Biden and his associates and foreign individuals, including the wife of the former mayor of Moscow, and individuals with ties to the Chinese Communist Party, but stopped short of alleging any criminal wrongdoing on the part of his father. Joe Biden is protected. But not if President Trump gets reelected. Things will change. The report, it should be noted, was written before the now infamous Hunter laptop surfaced. Now we have another problem. There's proof, evidence. The Biden campaign claimed Russia had planted Hunter's laptop. This is insanity. This is so silly and so laughable. Anybody who believes it should be committed. And all their minions fell in line. The New York Post, which broke the story initially, still can't get into its Twitter account. It was locked because they tweeted a link to their own story. This isn't George Orwell's 1984. They're censoring the truth now. What is said to be contained on the laptop should be a matter of extreme journalistic and public concern. How can we confirm or commute the information if we can't even talk about it? Combining with the statements of Tony Bobulinski, a former Biden family business partner who says he had personal conversations with Joe Biden, and there's more than enough evidence everywhere now to warrant public discussion and as proof. Fox News tried to confirm some of the Post reporting by interviewing Tony Bobulinski. He said the vice president stood to profit from his son's farm deals, that Joe was the big man, and Joe got 10% and 50% of his son Hunter Biden's earnings. The Post claims the files were discovered on a laptop left in a Delaware computer repair shop last year. The store's owner handed a copy of the hard drive to the FBI and to Giuliani. A confusing chain of custody many observers have found hard to believe because the FBI held it for so long. Why did they do that? Former Trump advisor Steve Bannon, who was being open about this, also somehow got a copy of the hard drive. And he boasted about an interview with a Dutch TV station last month. It's all over now. Biden's maybe a crime family is coming to an end. Only if President Trump gets reelected, though. The Biden campaign called for the reporting a smear campaign, but never denied that the emails and the texts were false. The campaign has avoided discussing other specific allegations. He won't answer any questions. Reporters won't ask any questions. It's the biggest cover-up in the history of American politics, and has not denied the Post files are authentic. It is no secret Hunter Biden followed the well-worn gilded path of many of Washington's ne'er-do-well sons. He was paid $500,000, remember, by MBNA as a consultant while his dad was voting for a bankruptcy law firm. Paid by Burisma. Paid by Chinese. While his dad ran point on the Obama administration's Ukraine policy. Hunter had five major qualities for these jobs. B-I-D-E-N. It is now a proven fact and cannot be denied that all this information is the real deal. That makes it impossible for 50% or 10% Joe to ever assume the office of the president. But he is extremely eligible for prison, along with James and Hunter and Hillary and Obama. Let's all get out and vote for President Trump and make it happen.